Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Around the AFC North, we head to 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. And welcome in Andrew Filippone, afternoon show host. Follow him on Twitter, at the Pony Express, I guess, if you want to. Pony Master, what happened in that loss to the Seattle Seahawks?
Their hopes and dreams died because Big Ben Roethlisberger got injured, Ken.
Okay, thank you very much for joining us. obviously, Mason Rudolph came in, didn't look too terribly bad in that game. How much confidence do they have in Mason Rudolph, especially after the trade that they made where they're bringing in Minkah Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, they've got way more confidence in him than I do. Kevin Colbert told people after the draft 2 years ago they had a first-round grade on Mason Rudolph, which makes no sense because they waited until the third round to pick him and drafted his teammate, a wide receiver, James Washington, with the second-round pick. So complete hogwash that they had a first-round grade on him. If they did, you move up in the second round. You make sure you get your future quarterback. He was better than Ben. In the game on Sunday, the offense picked up when he went in. But I think that's fool's gold, guys. I think big picture here, looking at the next 14 games, I think Mason Rudolph is going to prove to people that he's another one of these Big 12 phony quarterbacks, like a Bryce Petty or a Blaine Gabbert, one of those guys. I've got almost no confidence in him. I think he's a career backup. I think he's one of these guys who looks the part but can't play a lick. 6'5", big body, and I think we're going to see him struggle. So, yeah, doesn't look good.
Well, if his offensive picks are anything like his defensive picks, Kevin Colbert, boy, you guys are in a world of trouble. Go ahead, Lima.
Anyway, Pony, Big Ben's going to be 38 next year because apparently all quarterbacks age 1 year at a time. And he's going down with this injury. Is this the end of an era? I mean, do you even think Big Ben's going to have the stomach to want to fight back and get back out there? And it was looking pretty bleak anyway the first week and a half anyway.
Yeah, he's got 30 million reasons to come back and play. I think he'll probably, if I had to bet on it, I'd say probably 60-40 he comes back and plays next year. I think maybe the Andrew Luck and that whole situation, Ben called it brave, courageous. We haven't seen Ben undergo a major surgery in a long time, so if there's a long rehab to this, maybe at some point he throws in the towel and says it's not worth it. We just don't know. I think there's that 10% chance that Mason Rudolph is a great quarterback and the Steelers want to go with the young guy next year. And in that case, would Ben Roethlisberger want to play for another team, another organization? So a lot of questions. I don't think many of them have particularly great answers. And I think the Steelers are in a real quandary right now, and I don't think Minkah Fitzpatrick really solves those problems.
Did that make sense, trading a first-round pick when it could be a big-time first-round pick?
No, it's one of the dumbest things I've seen the Steelers organization do in some time, and there's been a litany of mistakes made by this team over the last few years. If there was ever a year to keep the first-round pick, and guys, they've kept it for 52 years, this is the first time they've traded it since Bill Austin,
the
Steelers head coach back in 1967. You like that, Ken?
Wow, that's some history.
I don't think it works for a guy. The Steelers defense, they got mixed messages. The defensive coordinator wants to play one way. The head coach wants to play another. And now you've got a guy who's a Swiss Army knife. Is he a safety? Is he a slot corner? And I don't trust this coaching staff on the fly with no mini camp, no training camp, to work him into the defense properly and get the most out of the player.
Okay, but that's
so
true. That
I think
might
it's going to explode in their face.
That might be true, Pony, but let me go on the other side of this, is that we did just talk where Bud Dupree is not good. You said he sucks. You got other guys who are not very good on that defense. Devin Bush looks like he could be a player already, so we give that as a credit. They have not done very well with defensive picks in the first round anyway, so wouldn't Minkah Fitzpatrick, who's already in 1 year, seems to be a good player, wouldn't that be better? Because at least you know he's got some talent?
No, because I want options. If this is a 5-11 or a 6-10 team, and they're picking in the top 10, I don't want to lock myself into a safety who, let's face it, he's a good player. He's not Ed Reed. He's not Troy Polamalu. He's not even Derwin James. And so I don't want to lock in a top 10 pick. Maybe with one of those picks, I want to take an outside linebacker to go opposite T.J. Watt, who, by the way, was a great first-round pick made by Kevin Colbert. Maybe I do have to go, hey, Ben Roethlisberger's feelings aside, maybe I want to take a quarterback. Maybe a third quarterback over the next few months reveals himself as worthy of a first-round pick. Maybe I need to find a wide receiver because the guys behind Juju Smith-Schuster on this roster right now, frankly, I'm not sure they'd start for Ohio State. Guys, they're terrible.
Oh, all
Dante
right.
Moncrief blows.
Yeah, he's not good.
He blows with a capital B, and Ryan Switzer's small enough to fit in a pillowcase. He stinks. So, yeah, there are problems.
Oh, well, that's what that means.
Well, it's good to hear you so positive on the Steelers there, Stone Pony. All right, we'll talk to you again soon, my friend. The great Andrew Filippone joining us from 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. We go to Baltimore, where things are very good for the Ravens here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And Ken Weinman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Find him on Twitter at Ken Weinman Sport. Another win for the Baltimore Ravens, but another win over a lackluster team. They will have a huge test coming up this week as they take Kansas City on the road at 1 p.m. So how are the fans feeling about this, Ken, as they get ready to take on the Chiefs?
Well, I think the fans are a little apprehensive about going to Kansas City. Last year they went in there with Lamar Jackson, a limited quarterback, and had a chance to win that game. I don't know if you guys remember it, but Pat Mahomes basically heaved one across his body about 50 yards, and Eric Weddle got lost, and Tyreek Hill caught it. It was a fourth down play, and they came down and ended up scoring and tying it and then winning in overtime. But this is a much different Lamar Jackson than the one that quarterbacked that team last year.
All right, right now, he leads the NFL in quarterback rating after two games. Now, we know it hasn't exactly been murderer's row, but what have you seen development-wise from him? That throw on third down with 4 minutes left was just incredible.
Well, that's the thing, guys. Those are throws he could – the throw there, the throw over the middle, deep middle to Mark Andrews are throws he couldn't make last year, and he worked his butt off all offseason to fix his mechanics and to improve himself as a quarterback, and you can see the proof is in the pudding with the way he's played so far this year, and I think – good throws are good throws. He'll be able to make them anywhere.
Hollywood Brown's already shown up and played exceptionally well, Ken. Is there any concern maybe about the defense as you head on against a real offense with Kansas City? Because I don't know if they've been truly tested. It seems that Kyler Murray just got swallowed up every time he even let his feet budge for 1 second and actually stay where he was at.
I think there's some concern. And I think one of the concerns is Earl Thomas, since making that pick against Miami, he really hasn't done anything. And so against a real offense like Kansas City, you're hoping Earl Thomas does something, makes some plays. That's why they brought him in. And he was supposed to really be an upgrade over Eric Weddle. I haven't really seen it yet. Marquise Brown, we always talk about how bad they've done drafting wide receivers in the first round. It's Travis Taylor. It's Breshad Perriman, and it's Mark Clayton. Through two games, Marquise Brown might be the best ever Ravens first-round pick at wide receiver.
Ken, we thank you very much. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend Ken Weinman. Ken Weinman Sport on Twitter. Follow him there. And we head to Cincinnati now to finish up around the AFC North. We welcome in Mo Egger, where, boy, the Bengals played a lot like the people thought the Bengals were going to play this year. Mo, it got pretty ugly against San Francisco on Sunday.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it looked painfully familiar because last year this team's defense was awful. They had three straight games where they gave up 500 yards or more. Now, the thing is, two of those games came against Kansas City and New Orleans, where it's not that much of a surprise. It is a surprise when the San Francisco 49ers roll into your building and average almost 5.5, or I'm sorry, average almost 8.5 yards per play and 572 yards and basically do whatever they want. I think the sobering thing is, you know, not the fact that they lost the football game, not even the fact that they were blown out, just the fact that, you know, the biggest fear for this team all offseason long, I think for a lot of fans, was, wow, they really didn't change up the roster. They had the worst defense in the league last year. How are we expected to get any better? And I think what you got on Sunday was confirmation of people's worst fears that not doing anything to really upgrade the defense was going to yield painfully similar results.
All right, we know there are people that were a little bit excited about what the offense could look like, even with some of the guys that have been there before. But I did notice this, 59 rushing yards through two games. I don't think I've ever seen that in the NFL. Maybe there have been those numbers. I've never seen anything like 59 yards in two games.
It's a little skewed, only because they really didn't try to run the football all that much against Seattle. You know, they sort of just chose to essentially make their running play short passes. But the disappearing act of the running game is something that we've talked about going back to the preseason. Joe Mixon got hardly any carries during the preseason, and the offensive line has been a mess. And I don't think there's much hope for this running game to really get that much better, namely because, you know, we thought, even if Jonah Williams, their first-round pick, was healthy, and even if this team had great luck with everybody else on the offensive line, it was still going to be, at best, an average group. Take away Jonah Williams. Take away Cordy Glenn, who's been in concussion protocol now for over a month. Take away Clint Bowling, who retired right before training camp. And then, you know, plug in a bunch of dudes who, quite frankly, probably wouldn't be starting for a good team, and your offensive line is going to be a disaster. Now, in the passing game, you know, Andy's good enough at getting rid of the football quickly that it's not going to kill you. I think that's what this offense is designed around, which is Dalton's ability to throw it quickly. But you're not going to be able to run the football. I don't care who's back there. And quite frankly, I'm not sure how that improves. They've gone up against two pretty good defensive fronts in Seattle and San Francisco. And they might go up against the best defensive front they've seen all year in Buffalo on Sunday. And so if the expectation is, you know, with the passage of time, the running game is going to get better, I would caution Bengals fans against that.
Mo, I got 10 seconds, a simple yes or no. Should Browns fans be worried about San Francisco in 3 weeks?
Yes, I wouldn't be panicked, but I would be worried. Jimmy Garoppolo's getting better, and that defensive line is quite good.
Mo, thank you for the time, my friend, the great Mo Egger, Mo Egger 1530 on Twitter from ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. All those guests on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline as we went around the AFC North.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.